And perhaps as we open our evening service, you may want to look in your Bible, turn to your Bible, to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we thank you for thy word. Thank you, Spirit of God, for your personal intent to have us grow and know you. Thank you very much. So deal with our head and heart and Spirit of God, put it all together, that we would have the benefits of these moments, and that you would, enable us to go forward a little more in a way with a little more understanding and a little more consistency. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And in our study looking at this morning, so here we are trying it a little more. And keeping in mind, you cannot be what you aren't. You cannot be what you are not. You can't be that. And to have to say, as we looked at history and holidays and Veterans Day, Flag Day, and all of those different things, Mother's Day, and the absence of the value of them today as opposed to yesterday. And therefore, and in the new day in which we live, we have to be clear and define for understanding. God, the Mother, brought forth each person that's brought into the world. Each person that's brought into the world by the Mother is either a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, male or female. There's nothing else. And you must, in order to be, you have to be what you are, literally, wonderfully, in order to be what God would have you be. You can't enjoy God's saving grace and what he wants you to be if you aren't if you don't understand what you are and why you're here. After all, God gave you a person, and your mother and father gave you a body, a person to live it, for your person to live in that body. And you must understand that. If you lose that, then I don't know how, it isn't very easy to come to know the Lord, to say the least. And all of the stuff that's happening, transitions and mutilation of the body and all kinds of stuff for children, let alone adults, it never will work. The cat is a cat all the way. I may want it to make it a giant elephant, but it will never be a giant elephant. It may think it's an elephant, but it can never be. A woman is made. A woman is made to have children, etc. It's in her makeup. A man does not have that inside of them at all. So if I try to be something I'm not, I can never, never have, my inside is never going to match what I'm trying to do with the outside. Does that make sense to you? It won't match. It's impossible. And it creates a terrible dilemma that's increasing. So there's going to be more and more frustrated people, more and more legislation to try to protect frustrated people to be frustrated. Now, having said that little bit, God has a wonderful plan. And the humans, us humans, verse 3, chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the devil, the love of darkness, the god of this world, is doing what? He's seeking to go and exercise in our unbelief his wonderful work and outworking. So, as that is outworking itself, the devil, and we shared together this morning, Genesis 3 and 20, Eve is the mother of all living. They all come out. Adam, Eve, everyone come out, the seed of the woman. She's the source. Think of your father, grandfather, great-grandfather. She's the source. She's the mother. She is the most sensitive because a woman is different, as we shared, than a man. They're not the same. They're different. And in that difference, they're built differently, they're constructed differently, and they're made differently and meant with a mental exercise of involving, caring, producing. And it's there. And thus, Genesis 3 and 13, when God said to Eve, how come you're in their condition? And she said, the devil deceived me, beguiled me. He led me astray. I was easily duped because I was looking to gain and get a knowledge of good and evil, and I was pursuing things to creative. That's what I was doing. Thus the woman becomes the tool where Satan's power is the greatest. You'll see women at their lowest. When Satan has the greatest power, women, you'll see, all you have to do is look at our cultures, look out in the world, weigh it. The value of a woman is very important. The devil uses women. That's his tool. Why is it his tool? Men aren't as susceptible. They aren't that, they don't have that makeup, that divide, that drive, creativity, and caring. They don't have that, not in the same way. So therefore, if you want to go and measure a society, all you got to do, then where does the devil go? He's going to go, and his power is the greatest, and woman's place is the lowest, wherever he is reigning. Moral darkness, immorality, etc., etc. Now, so in a society, how can we do? We have what? We have a morality of women. And look at mothers, etc. And in the process, as a thermometer, you can read where a society is going, like a thermometer, hot and cold, like a barometer, reading the pressure, and storm, calm, watch where it's going. What's happening in our world? What's happening in particular in our country as opposed to other countries that wouldn't do this kind of thing? And all of it has given purpose prophetically, etc. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and you know, so therefore influence. And influence, as you know, is the influence has to do with what? It has to do with flowing out. A person is influencing, flowing out. Other side, a person is being influenced, flowing in. Influenced, flowing in. Influence, being an influence, flowing out. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, and the devil is very smart. He has chosen a woman. You remember illustration and gunpowder. Before gunpowder was invented, they did whatever they did. Gunpowder is just gunpowder. It's only a little powder. But it changed war and exchange. It changed war and fighting. Gunpowder did. Gunpowder, just little. Do you know a ship, a great ship with the engines and all of that wonderful power to move the ships? Awesome power. But do you know if you wanted to control, and you're using to control the ship, having that big ship and all of that awesome power, all you need to do is be in command of the rudder. And you can turn the ship with all of its power. The devil knows. Get a hold of society, of the women and everything, and I have the whole ball of wax. And as we shared in Revelation 17, to show you the summation of all of that, the mother of harlots, that's in the Antichrist, the religious system, is a mother to what? To knock everybody off base, to keep everybody off base politically, etc. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, now an exercise, I hope it may help you. God, here we are, we're male and female, and that's who we are. And we need to be that, because that qualifies us to be what God has in mind. God died on the cross for Adam and Eve and everyone out of them. That's just all us, the human race. So God died that. He made provision to save us in a most wonderful way. What does it mean in the light of that, in this aspect? Over to Luke and chapter 12. Luke and chapter 12. And picking up would you notice, Luke chapter 12, and I may go to verse 51. Suppose ye, said the Lord, that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. God's trying to save the whosoever's in the midst of all society's relationships. Verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Thus, he's saying, keeping in mind, verse 54, and he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. They discern the season, the weather. Verse 55. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there shall be heat, and it cometh to pass. They know the weather. Verse 56. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? That was back then when things were not good. So again, we have all this discernment with our knowledge and everything, but we really don't see what's happening. And how do you know you don't see it? Politically and religiously, they are encouraging and supporting the sexual stuff going on and all of it. You would never support it if you understood it. You would never support it if you knew where it's going. But they do. Without even blinking an eyeball, they legislate and dictate. Now, so A, God saves us out of the system. We're male and female. God saves us. Now, and we share together. In Matthew chapter 12, not doing that again, Matthew 12, that the Lord Jesus Christ says that those that do the will of God, those that want God's will for their life, why were they born? They were born to be able to know God and honor God. And that's why they were born. And if they enter into that wonderful plan and purpose, God said, they are my brothers, my sisters, and they're my mother. They're my family, my mother. They're the family. But there's mother, there's the family, sons, daughters. God isn't excluding them. God's trying to help you. You need the family that can survive. The family of God can survive. The family of the world can't survive. They all need to be saved. A man's foes will be they of what? His own household. God got to save us out of his system. No matter who, you just get saved. You want to step on board the plane. The plane's going to take off. And God says, come on board. The flood's coming. Noah's Ark. I get in Noah's Ark. The flood's coming. But we don't want to get in. And they didn't. Now, having said that, and we share together. We share together that in Luke in chapter 1, that Mary was Mary, a mother, a lady, girl, highly favored, graced, given special grace, saving grace, wonderful favor. And she was chosen to be the vehicle, the woman, to carry the body of the Lord Jesus born in Bethlehem of Judea. You couldn't have been, you can't be more special than that. And God, that's for his body. And thus, in this age of grace, here's Israel and the all the stuff that's going on. And in right now, in God's grace, whosoever will, Jew or Gentile, male or female, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives you a wonderful relationship to him that no one else will have. He's showing his grace. And what is that relationship? You're going to be his body. Mary produced the physical body. A spirit of God, when you get saved, places you in his body. Ephesians 1, 6 and 7. You are highly favored. That's the only other place. Highly favored, you're accepted in the beloved, you're graced. The only other place it's used of the Virgin Mary for the physical life. It's used of the body of believers for spiritual life. God has given us special favor to be placed into his body. His body. Others aren't there. Moses is there. They aren't in his body. John the Baptist is in his body. It's the whosoever's that believe now, they are given the right and privilege to be placed into his saving grace, in particular, in a relationship as his body. That's what he did. Now, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Galatians. And you will note that in Galatians in chapter 3, may I go right just a little context, verse 26, 3 and 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, who, for as many of you as have been baptized, placed into Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore, when you come to the Lord as your Savior, there is neither Jew nor Greek. No, you belong to the Christ in his body. There is neither bond nor free. No. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is no male and female. There is none. No, God has absorbed it into his wonderful body. As his body, hang on to that, it's his body. There is neither male nor female. What else do we want to tag onto that little thought? Over to Matthew and chapter 22. And in Matthew and chapter 22, picking up, if I may, you'll see it, verse 29. Remember our Lord speaking on the resurrection. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. There's no marriage. You're neither male nor female, and there is no more such thing as marriage and difference. We're in his body in a most wonderful way. In his body? Philippians and chapter 3. And in Philippians in chapter 3, you would recall, I'll read just a little context again, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, our manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're looking to go home. That's where we belong. Verse 21. And since we're going to go home, God's going to do a wonderful thing in the process. Who shall change, verse 21, our vile. The word vile is humiliation. Humiliation is the word. Who shall change our vile body of this humiliation? We're in a body of sin that's corrupt, disease, death. We got all the problems. Who shall change this our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working thereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now God's going to do something wonderful. He's going to give us a different body. That's what we're going to be. And it isn't male or female. It isn't that. It isn't Jew or Gentile. It isn't bond or free. It's a whole wonderful relationship to God in a wonderful, wonderful way. How can we ever even anticipate that if I don't recognize I am a male or female in a normal, healthy sense of actuality? I don't have that because I'm not thinking right. I don't understand right. God is going to change this body. Not something that doesn't exist, to be like unto his. 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 3, you will note, if I can, in verse 1, 3, 1, 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, children of God. Wherefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We're different. That's right. God saved us. Saved us. We're strangers and pilgrims, as we did in Sunday school, Hebrews. Verse 2. Beloved, now, not next week, not tonight, now. Now means now, right now. Behold, beloved, now are we the sons of God, children of God, right now. When are we going to be sons of God? Do it another way, you know it. John 1:12. when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we receive, as we do, if we receive the Lord as our Savior, God gives us the power, the right, the privilege to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in His name. Now, when you receive Christ as your Savior, when do you become a child of God? I'll do it another way. Physically, you're in the mother's womb and that developing and all that stuff. And so when you exit the mother's body, you exit that body out, cut the tube so it's your breath, not no more your mother's, etc. And you do that. Now, are you a little baby alive or not? You just came out. Are you a child of the mother and father? Now are you the sons of God? Now, when I spiritually am saved, the minute I receive Christ as my Savior, God put me in the place in Christ to become a wonderful new creature in Christ, a relationship to God in a most awesome way. When did it happen? The moment I received Him. God made all of that for real. When I was born physically, God made it possible for me to grow from diapers to pants. God made it possible. God makes your life possible in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if we can, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, children of God, doth not yet appear what we shall be, but, well, we're looking, we're waiting, pilgrims, strangers, but we know that when He shall appear, we're waiting to see Him, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall all see Him as He is. So, now back to 1 Thessalonians, you know that 1 Thessalonians. And what do you know? Well, we're looking for God to take us. And what? You got the 1 Thessalonians, you know. A little bit, you know. We're waiting, looking to be the trumpet to blow, and we're going to be taken up in a wonderful moment of time, and we're going to be translated into God's wonderful heaven. Hold your finger right here. Don't lose John. Over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, picking up the thought, if I can, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. No, it doesn't. No, that's which is here is earthly, it stays that way. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, die, but God's going to come at any moment and take us. But we shall all be changed, whether we die or don't die. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the living on earth at the time God takes up, and all the rest of them, Peter, James, and John, they're going to be there, and they're going to get a new body, and we're going to get a new body. And when He steps out, and God calls us up into heaven, and when He does, this body is gone. And you have a body like unto His. When He comes, we will see Him as He is, because our body is going to be like His body, neither male nor female. A wonderful, wonderful resurrected body that I couldn't even tell you how to take it from this point. God, I'm going to have to say, if you're patient, wait, and when it happens, then you can tell me what happens. God's going to do that in a most wonderful way. 1 John chapter 3, going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's what I meant to have you read. Changed from one, God's going to change us in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, 1 John chapter 3, picking up, please. I'll read verse 2 again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him on the basis, every man that hath this hope in him, purify, that the word purify is to be clean. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, is clean, even as he is clean, pure. You, in the moment, we're going to see him as he is, pure, clean. And when you look at, here's the Lord, and here's the believer, clean, pure, just as he is, matching the body. That's awesome. In a moment of time, God's going to do that. Now, keeping that in mind, that we're going to be clean. That's why, practically, 1 John chapter 1. So 1 John chapter 1, picking up, please. You will note, going directly to verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He that hath this hope, what's our hope? We're going to be clean like he is. We're going to be like him. Our hope, our expectation, our anticipation. We're going to be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye to be like him. What do we have? This wonderful hope. So as we walk in the light of our old nature, it's all, our old nature is just that. In verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the believing heart recognizes in him dwelleth, in their heart dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing to save. Thank God we're brought into the world dead in sins. Christ died because of our condition, not some other condition we create. God died for the real condition we're in, dead in sin. And God saves us in a wonderful way. So when we walk in the light as he is in the light, and verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word his word is not in us. So we're very conscious. When someone says, well, I'm not that bad, and they think that, you aren't thinking right. You need another body, and God saves you out of the whole system, including mother, father, brother, sister, everyone that's unsaved. God saves you out of that. To what? To know him. And God's going to do a wonderful thing to change you, change your body. Right now, he leaves us here to be a witness that God is here to change us, to save us. That's what God's doing. We're strangers and pilgrims as we journey. So going down the corridor, here we go. And what? We aren't looking at, I shared that with you 100 times. We aren't sitting there beating ourselves up. Am I going to do everything just right? You'll never do everything just right. How's that? You'll have to go to heaven to do everything just right. What you're doing just right is you're thanking God for his saving grace. You're trusting it, recognizing your old nature, word, thought, and deed, could be doing any old thing. But I'm not trusting and you aren't trusting. God isn't looking at your old nature. He crucified it. God's looking at your relationship to him. So as we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. Because we're what? We're looking to God as vessels that are saved, vessels that are set apart for the Master's use. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if I can please, over to, Galatians. And in Galatians, you remember, God does a bit of wonderful thing in the Apostle Paul, chapter 1, picking up in chapter 1 of Galatians. Paul gets saved, remember, verse 16. I'll read verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, Paul got saved. And how did he get saved? God revealed his son, where? In me. I received God as my Savior, and what did I understand? God in Christ in me. That's what I understood. God in me. That's what he did. That I might preach him among the Gentiles, everyone. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I revealed his son in me. Sliding over, as you know, verse 24. Translate that. When they saw Paul, they glorified, and they, I'll read verse 23. But they had heard only that he, which persecuted us in times past, now preached the faith which he once destroyed. Apostle Paul got saved, and from putting in prison and killing Christians, he got saved, preached to save. And how did they identify Paul being saved? Paul said, I received, Christ revealed his son in me. How did they see it? How do they understand that? Verse 24, and they glorified God in me. I received Christ as my Savior, and they glorify God. That's what it is. God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what he did in a most wonderful way for you, to save you. Now, so Paul was given an assignment to the Gentiles, etc., to be an apostle, and all, as you all know, all these epistles, God used him and prepared him in a wonderful way. Paul had an awesome background. So chapter 4 in Galatians, and what do we know in chapter 4? My little children, verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Here's the Apostle Paul looking and understanding what they're doing. You have to receive the Lord as your Savior. God makes you a new creature in Christ. And Paul is going through the trauma and exercise of seeking to point people to Christ and to change, see them changed. That's what they need to see, changed, to find Christ in them, to travail in birth until Christ be formed, shaped in you, changed in you, to grow, to know, to change. You're growing up. And you reflect mom and dad. You're growing up, and the evidence is there. We got saved. We have the evidence. We're more and more like, to be more and more like Christ. And that's what we just read. We're being changed in a most wonderful way. So God is going to go and do a wonderful thing in our head and heart to make us like him. So we're more and more, we're saved. And we're more and more comfortable being saved. We're more and more comfortable with the scriptures. We're more and more comfortable with the assembly. We're more and more, we fit in, we're saved. That's who we are. Now, having said that, so he travailed in birth. mothers, you know, from Genesis 3 and 16 and that, where the woman is sorrow giving birth, etc. And that is giving birth. Well, that's one thing, travail and birth. Well, spiritually, travail and birth, you're going to go through trauma. So what? To see people get saved, to see them grow. They need to grow. In order to know, they need to grow. In order to grow, they need to know. They got to grow. They got to grow. That's what the church is for. And it isn't just to give you information. That's what I'm trying to help you. It's why we're where we're at across the country, across the world. We got information, but no change. We walk away with a little more notes about something, but we aren't changed. We're supposed to be changed. That's why we, God help us, we try to understand. To try to what? God has to be changing us, our thinking, our feeling, our fears, our faults, changing us in a most wonderful way. That's what we should be doing growing up. Look it over, if you can, over to Ephesians. And in chapter 4, as you know, without turning there, but chapter 4, and what are we supposed to be doing? Chapter 4, verse 12, perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, what's the whole purpose? It isn't just to sit and learn another thought. Till we're going to sit and grow and grow and edify the body until we all come in the unity, the oneness of the faith, the body of truth to be believed, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, complete, full man, unto the measure, how much, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And therefore, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, grow up, not just grow, but grow up into him, to be like him, to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's what we're doing, to grow, to learn. So it isn't a question you have a bunch of knowledge. I don't know, how can we remember it all? Verse after verse, truth after truth. Wow, right? How can you remember? I don't even remember it, let alone people that have good memories can. But hey, they got it. It isn't a question of that. It's a question of we're believing and trying, letting it sink into our head and heart. And we have a sense of God, a sense of the scriptures, the sense of reality, and God helps us. So we're sort of stable, set, steady. We know him as our Savior. That's what we say. That's what I'm going to say. I don't know about you guys, I'm sure. Same. That's all I'm. What do I know? That's what I can say. After all these years, I know him. I know him. That's what I can say. Do I know anything else? No. But I know him. I know him. I do. See? I know. Yes, that's what the whole point is, to know him. To know him and enjoy him. That's what you do. We're very confident in God. Now, having said that, knowing, changing, God's going to do it, and you have all the wonderful statements that tie that together for us to understand. God wants us to be changed. God wants us to grow. God wants us to know. That's what all it is about, to change us, to perfect us. And you know what it says in Colossians. I would do that one, Colossians. And Colossians, if I can, especially in the light of Mother's Day and that. Paul said in Galatians, I travail in birth. I'm interested in travailing in birth. How does that work? Chapter Colossians, remember the wonderful truth, mystery, that, verse 27, chapter 1, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, what? In you, the hope of glory. Okay. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man. What did Jesus read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13? Perfect, complete them, full. Verse 28, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the purpose. I've shared that with you. You know it. That's what you want to pray for. What on earth is church? What are we supposed to do? Not traditional church, not the ordinary church. God's church, where God is working. God, what are you going to do with us? You're going to change us to honor you and know you. And therefore, verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. God has to do an awesome work in the believing heart. To what? To be able to travail. The woman has to go and develop the baby and for the baby to come out, travail. God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. He's going to use the believing heart, and the believing heart grows and knows, and as it grows and knows, it cares and gets involved, and it's caring. Being a mother isn't an easy job. It's a very thankless job, for the most part. It isn't meant to get big scorecard or something. It's an assignment to raise up and exercise the charge. You've got the children to raise them up. That's what you do. They belong to God. So you're doing that. So God, here we are looking. And it's a thing. And know that going into the pulpit is not easy. Doing the job, I don't even come close. For me, I'm telling you, I stand out here. People say, I'm a pastor so-and-so. God bless you. Do you know what it costs? I know what a gift is. Pastor is a gift. God gives a gift. And you didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, you'll never. It's something God does. And when that's there, you can't miss it. All the rest is wonderful preaching. God bless it. God bless the Bible studies. God bless them. I'm just telling you, it isn't causing the saints to be perfected. Otherwise, we wouldn't be where we are today. Where are you going to find them? The churches and schools, all going downhill. I hope that, did you get that? So all we do is get our little be in the highway like we should. And we got our first aid kit, and we got a few things, and we try to help each other. That's what we're doing. We try to help each other understand. But the goal, I understand the goal, what I'm supposed to be firing at when I shoot out here at you, perfect you, to get you to change, and you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it? No, that's why they leave. Why not? Because I don't want to have to change. And God is, I don't do it. I don't sit there at home and say, how can I get them? Say, don't do that. All I do is try to understand a little bit and help you understand. God is going to get you and me. God's going to get us and bother us and cause us to see the truth. Do you understand? It's very personal. And I don't know many people like that. I just don't. I wish I did. Someone has said, one of the best things that would help revival is get all the people that are in the pulpit out of the pulpit into the pew. And everyone sit there and pray. And God will raise up the people that belong up there. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. You understand? Trying to help you. It's Mother's Day. Now, having said that, that's us humans. It's not an easy job. Why? Because you've got to bear this the stubbornness and stupidity of people. Their rebellion. They sit there and they aren't believing, they aren't going to believe, and you hit it again anyway. I'm going to give you the background, the basis of all of it in closing. Over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. I hope you got a little bit in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And you need to understand what church is about. So when you bring the children to church, it isn't, you want to understand what they're doing. You're exposing them to God. I shared that with you. You're not exposing them to information. You're exposing them to God. And I told her there's no place in all on planet Earth where God's people are gathered together in His name, honoring His word. There's no place like it for safety. There's no, the influence of God's movement, it isn't anything you feel or touch or taste or smell. It's something God does. Because you're in the assembly and God's puts an umbrella and does what He does. And we're exposed to God. You aren't going to go to the White House and be exposed to this. You can't go to the movie theater and see this. You aren't going to go down the street or turn on television and see this. It's only going to happen in where the believers are gathered together in a most wonderful way. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, God help us all in all of our mumblings and trying to help each other. And that's all we're doing. That's all, God help us. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not. Grieve is to sadden, to pain. Don't grieve. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't cause Him pain. The mother delivers in travail. We're trying to, preaching, etc., is to exercise travail, to get us to see something, to understand something. Travail. And the Spirit of God behind it all, behind all of that, is grieved. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. And so our part, and then everyone else, all the believers, don't grieve Him. Don't cause Him pain. He's trying to put into your head and mind His wonderful truth to enjoy being alive on planet Earth in a very, very tough, troubled time. He is grieved. He wants to be what? God. And we have no more time, but if you did, He's what? In His fullness, He's going to what? Supply. His whole ministry is to make God in your life all that He is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's going to make God all of His wonderful person in His fullness. God is, He never runs out of, God, here we are, and He never runs out of His patience, of His skill, of His love, His hope. He makes it all work for us. He never rests, so we don't want to grieve Him. We don't want to fight, back to kids growing up, you don't want to fight Mom. And when all of you had to grow up, and so did I, and that. And we had that. We had the little thing, kids, us kids growing up, and we were what we were. We did what we did. And not like they do today, but we did what we did. And whatever. And the mother and father would, they wouldn't say whatever. They do the best they can to train us in school, etc. School, they disciplined you. And I shared all that because why? It was a different day. They exercised the Board of Education on your bottom. I had that in junior high school, because that's what the principal did. You shouldn't have done that. And so you went down to the office and bent down, and poof, you got it. You got it. And you got it. And I told you all these things. Why? It's a different day. You went home, your mother pulled your hair because you shouldn't have done that. And then your father comes home. She says, I'm going to tell your father, and your father gets you. You know what? You're a boy. No. They're being disciplined, educated. It's God. They're being a parent trying to raise you up. God, you're trying to raise us up. So therefore, we need to look to you with all our heart and trust you with all our might. And we don't want to grieve you, Spirit of God. You want to do a wonderful thing in our little head and heart. So God, help us not to grieve you. We don't want to be a pain in the neck to you. No. And God, I got to quit. I hope you get a little bit. It's Mother's Day. That's a wonderful thing. Just to be alive on planet Earth and to be from my mother. My mother wasn't saved till later in life. Near the end of her life, she got saved. Got saved in a wonderful way. Now, in the process, that's what shaped. She didn't grow. She didn't have time to grow, but she got saved. I remember looking at her face in the Mass General Hospital. I had to drive up in the middle of the night. They called, and she went in the hospital. And I remember being there. And then they had a tracheotomy or whatever to breathe and that, and went in to see her. And in the process, that smile, do you know him? Do you know him? And a smile. That was enough. That was enough. And then she died. You see? Wow. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And as we stumble through all this, God, trying to get realities clear in a world we live in make-believe more than we know. And we try to avoid and all the issues and items to sort of just get by with everything. And we don't understand what's happening and why we're going downhill as a nation, downhill as churches, the testimony of the churches. Even God, we're part of it. We're going to have to hang in there and do it right. So God, help us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Spirit of God, boy, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your ministry, your care, God, your love. So deal with us. We'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.